The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Yes, it's a Thing of Beauty Weekly, the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. Dr. Deb Lonser, one of our experts, will be joining us again very soon. We do miss her. Coming up at 20 after the hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our toxicologist. Rat poison, one of the topics. Tide detergent, one of the topics. Pesticides toxic to bees. And how healthy are today's kids? With Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. Dr. Mike, at 34 past the hour, it's Dr. Arthur Perry, right?
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about two major things, one of which is what's the leading country for cosmetic surgery and why. It's not the United States. And then what's the difference between ultrasound and laser and radio frequency and peels, electric peels, and, if you will, regular peels. So we're going to go through all of them and tell you what the pluses and minuses for each are for people who want, if you will, facial rejuvenation.
Dr. Arthur Perry, straight talk from the docs. And a real age tip for the second hour before the end of the hour. I finally went to a doctor this week and kind of made an effort to get better, and I'm feeling better. I think I sound a little bit better after a pretty tough January. So,
well, you know, it's very tough. You do, how long do you do? You do 4 hours every morning?
4 hours every morning in a very, very dry studio, which doesn't help either. But doctor put me on some medication. I had upper respiratory virus and a secondary infection. So, it's getting better. I hope it tells.
Well, I'm glad it's getting better because you were sounding pretty hoarse. You still sound
a little
hoarse. And you had one, as I remember, you hadn't had one for years, and then you had one either last year or the year before, and it lasted 6 weeks. And part of the problem was you got to do this four-hour show every morning. You get up at 2 a.m. in the morning.
And I was coaching high school basketball.
Oh, that part I didn't know.
Yeah.
Did
so,
you use a whistle a lot instead of your voice?
Well, I couldn't communicate with the kids during a game because my voice was hoarse, and less sleep because I'm up at night. But anyway, so I am getting a little bit better. How about getting into calling a doctor the other day at what was it 2:15, and getting in to see the doctor 2:40? That had to be a land speed record.
Well, in fact, you know, the Cleveland Clinic started routine same-day appointments. If you call by 1 p.m., you're virtually guaranteed an appointment that day, not maybe with the specific doc you want, but with a specialist in that field. And if you call by 5 p.m., it's the next day. So, and last year, a little over 1 million of our 5 million plus appointments, about 20% of them were same-day appointments.
Well, let me take a second, a moment, just to extol the virtues of your Cleveland Clinic. And it was with your help that my daughter, because of a potential medical condition, wanted a second opinion. And you connected her with a specialist at the Cleveland Clinic. And the results of the second opinion turned out to be most encouraging. So, I thank you for that, and my daughter thanks you for that, too.
Well, in fact, I think the lesson is one. Thank you, by the way, but the lesson is one in general. 20% of the time, it doesn't matter where it is, it's 20% of the time the diagnosis needs to be altered in a major way. That's the national figures, and when people have used some of the automated systems, you know, we're going to change a lot. I don't know if you've seen this Watson character that IBM has now.
Yes.
But it's one of the new ways. And when we had it at the Innovation Summit at the Cleveland Clinic, it was able to go through potential diagnostic criteria faster than even our best experts, and come up with a list that characterized very tough diagnoses. It said 76% chance it's got this, and 14% chance she's got this, and 12% chance. But it went through the diagnostic criteria and said these are the three things, and this is how you. So it really was a aid to the physician to make the physician much better, and it does it pretty fast. The amazing thing is medical knowledge is now doubling every 5 years. So if you look at a doctor, today, if you start him in medical school today, by the time he's through with his residency, medical information has quadrupled, has gone up 2 times 2 or 4 times. And, it is actually, he's just, there's no way he can keep up. So we're going to need the type of thing. Turns out Watson, I think, can read 200,000 pages a minute and digest it.
Yeah. Well, in my daughter's case, apparently she was tested for something, and before she got home, the phone rang and said, you have this. Come back to the hospital or come back to the doctor to begin treatment. So obviously that emotionally makes somebody a wreck, makes parents wrecks. And I guess the lesson is to get a second opinion on issues. And I guess the lesson would be, question is, when should you get a second opinion?
My statement is you get a second opinion when you're going to do something for more than 3 days. And certainly if you're going to do something for more than 2 weeks. So if you're taking a medication for more than 3 days, I think you should get a second opinion on it. But clearly, in other words, you've got a secondary bacterial infection. Okay, so maybe not in the 10 days you're getting an antibiotic. But if you're going to take a medication chronically, or you're going to have a procedure, a surgical procedure, or you want an X-ray interpreted, you've got an X-ray and it said it's X, always get a second opinion. Always. It's just, most insurance companies pay for it. Many times, just like in many other cases, like your daughter's, the treatment wasn't needed or isn't needed, and so a different diagnosis results. And believe it or not, this is the data from Johns Hopkins, one of the best medical centers in the world, is that 20% of the time, a second opinion, even at the same institution, changes what is done in a major way or changes the diagnosis. So always get a second opinion because docs are human. They're not infallible.
My wife and I were thinking about it today after she comes back and lets us know about what your doctor at the Cleveland Clinic told her in terms of watchful waiting and what she could have been going through. We couldn't imagine her making the decision to follow the first doctor's recommendation to start treatment immediately. And it turns out now that, not to say something might not happen down the line, but again, it's a watchful waiting thing more so than start pumping drugs into your system. We couldn't imagine her doing that without getting some advice from somebody else to verify that would have been the recommended course of action. So
anyway, so that reaffirms what we've said all along in a personal way, but it is for everybody. All the people listening, get a second opinion. I can't tell you how many times it changes what you do.
Very good. A lesson learned, obviously. And once again, the Cleveland Clinic, just amazing if you're in that particular area or anywhere near there. Just a wonderful facility. Dr. Mike Roizen, part of that. Coming up right after the break, Dr. Gary Ginsberg, what's toxic and what's not? What's not? Well, maybe rat poison. And again, maybe it is. Also, we have Dr. G has a story about detergent, Tide detergent, which may work in your favor, hopefully. Pesticides as it relates to bees and how healthy are today's kids. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, we're streaming at RadioMD.com. You can catch a segment you may have missed there, too. Also, GabRadio.com. We're streaming there as well. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Stay with us.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. October 8th through the 14th is National Fire Prevention Week, a great time to brush up on fire safety skills. We've all heard of stop, drop, and roll, but there's also the first up, last out rule. This method was developed after studies revealed that children don't always wake up when a fire alarm sounds. Even if they do, they are often disoriented and confused by the noise and commotion. Under these circumstances, children may decide it's safer to hide under the bed or in a closet than venture out into the darkness and smoke. First up, last out aims to avoid that situation. When a smoke alarm goes off, the first person up, usually an adult, is responsible for finding and ushering everyone out of the house. So while a working smoke detector more than doubles your chance of surviving a fire, it is also important to ensure that no one gets left behind. And for more information on children's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. It's Dr. Mike and Dr. Arthur Perry at 34 past the hour, straight talk from the docs. We reserve this time for Dr. Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not, every week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Thank you for coming on again. I thought we'd pick the story first that it probably affects the most amount of people listening, and that's Tide detergent.
Sure. Hi, Mike. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Yeah, California has decided to get Tide, get the carcinogen out of Tide. And the carcinogen I'm talking about is something called 1,4-dioxane, which is not dioxin. It's a different version of carcinogen. And, you know, nobody likes to think of their laundry soap, what you're washing your clothing in, as having a chemical carcinogen in it. And so California has taken action against it. You know, a question could be, well, why has it taken so long? And I have to first say that this is not a purposeful additive. This is a byproduct of the manufacturer of anything that suds and is soapy, like shaving cream. There'll be some traces of this, and also in shampoo, and also in laundry detergent. And California has a law called Proposition 65, which if you have a carcinogen in the product, it has to be on the label, or you have to get rid of it. And Tide didn't want to put it on the label, so they have to get rid of it. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is one of those things that's not that toxic. I mean, if you've been using Tide all these years and you're saying, oh, my God, am I going to get cancer now because of Tide? I would say, no, don't lose any sleep over this one, because it's at trace levels in the laundry soap itself, and then you are thoroughly rinse cycling, getting rid of it with clean water that doesn't have the carcinogen, getting rid of whatever residue is there. So there's really no human exposure. People aren't eating Tide. They're not taking baths in Tide. So I would say that there's really not much cause for alarm. I'm of the opinion that it didn't even need to get rid of it, but I think Tide had to do it for PR purposes. Now, this chemical can be in bubble baths, though, because of the sudsing foaming. That, I think, is more important to take note of and to make a nice homemade, which, by the way, in my book, What's Toxic, What Not, we bring up this subject, and we do have a recipe for homemade bubble bath, which will prevent your children from being exposed to this chemical in the bubble bath. So that's, I think, more the bottom line here.
I think the bigger problem with the detergent, Gary, might be the detergent that looks like candy that kids think is candy and they eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have these little, what they have now, Gary, as you know, is these little pellets that are colored and look like candy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they probably won't taste very good. A kid would probably spit it out. But they'd still get some exposure. And that kind of situation could well end up in the emergency room, but that one wouldn't be a life threatener. But certainly, yeah, that's not good marketing and that's not good packaging. But while we're talking about kids being exposed to poisons, I'd like to get to the next story, which is about DECON and EPA taking action against rat poison. And nobody likes the idea, the thought, that their toddler or their four-legged pet could get into rat poison. But in fact, some of the versions of rat poison out there aren't all that safe. And EPA just took action against 12 versions of DECON. And they've been noticing that DECON's been a problem for a number of years. They've been negotiating with the manufacturer, and it hasn't gone anywhere. So they've had to actually cancel the registration of this kind of packaging for rat poison. And 10,000 kids a year end up in emergency rooms because of getting into rat poison and ingesting it. So that's a real problem, and this will make it safer. DECON does have some market share, and getting them... getting their unsafe products off the market is...
What is it now? The unsafe ones probably have warfarin, which is the thing that causes you to bleed, and that's why rats... What is the safer one have as its poison?
Actually, Mike, it's a little bit of the opposite of what you're saying. Warfarin is safer than the newer, more potent versions of rat poison, which are also anticoagulants and make the rat bleed out. But the newer ones are more persistent. And so if the rat dies slowly over the course of a couple of days, it's going to die out somewhere in a field or in a wall. But if it's out in a field, wildlife will pick on it. And it's well known now that predators, birds and coyotes, they become poisoned and they'll die. And recent wildlife studies show that because of the second generation of more potent and more persistent rat poisons, that there is a problem endemic in wildlife, that they've got these residues of these potent anticoagulants. But in terms of what Decon did wrong, they were using the second generation of more powerful, the non-warfarin kind. And there were also their bait stations weren't tamper-proof. And in some cases, they had loose powder, which is a real hazard and would lead kids to get into it more.
We get a mouse every now and then. I'm not big on the chemical thing.
Chemical thing. This is more like, I think, for problems that are more like in cities.
Yeah, but I don't want a mouse in my walls. I mean, PETA may come after me, but I like the trap. I just like the old-fashioned mouse trap. Catch it and throw it outside.
I used to have a hard traps and put it on somebody else's property.
Yeah. You know me too well. Okay. 2 minutes, Gary. How healthy are today's kids?
Well, yeah, EPA does a status and trends indicator report about once every 10 years. They just came out in January 2013 with the status of America's children relative to the environment. And some good trends. Lead levels have stabilized and are still trending downward. Now, of course, when we were kids, our blood lead levels were up around 20. And today's kids' blood lead levels are around 2 or 3. So that's a huge public health advance. And lead levels are still, you know, on the low side. But right now, there's about 400,000 children in America alone that still have too much lead in their bodies because they're exposed to old housing, lead paint, or lead in soil from historic gasoline fallout. So lead is still a problem. It hasn't gone away. But the other big thing that they were looking at as a trend was cotinine. Cotinine is a marker for cigarette smoking. And back in the 1990s, 27% of kids were living in homes with a smoker, smoking in the home, as indicated by the cotinine levels in kids' blood. Today, it's down to 6%. So we've really increased the consciousness about indoor smoking. As I talked about a couple of weeks ago, it still is a problem in cars. Parents may smoke in a car with a kid,
right.
and some states want to move against that and have laws against that. But and then asthma rates are high. They don't seem to be going up, but they're still too high. And autism and attention deficit problems are increasing. We don't know why. And so the neurodevelopmental aspect and the tie into the environment, that's really the big one to crack in the coming years.
So are we better? Basically, quickly, are the kids better off today now? Are we getting better?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think just from lead levels alone, kids have much better chance of getting into Harvard today than they did when I was a kid.
All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, you want a quick comment, Mike?
All I want to do is make sure we talk about the bees and the beehive disappearance next time.
Yeah, we'll do that next time. Toxicity in bees coming up with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Next up is Straight Talk from the Docs. It's Dr. Arthur Perry, part of the team every week. And you can email them at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And stay with us for Straight Talk from the Docs. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours. All of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. The U.S. is experiencing an increase in the number of cases of whooping cough. This is a serious illness caused by pertussis bacteria. It often starts with what seems like a common cold. Then, especially for toddlers, the cough worsens and leads to the characteristic whoop sound on inhaling. During this phase of the illness, which usually lasts more than 2 weeks, the child can get short of breath and the skin around the mouth may turn blue. Older children may cough so hard they vomit. The illness can be particularly deadly for infants who can develop complications such as pneumonia and seizures. Whooping cough is highly contagious and can spread to children who have not been vaccinated. The best way to prevent this dangerous illness is to be sure your child received all doses of the pertussis vaccine. This is usually given as the DTaP vaccine. And for more information on preventing whooping cough, visit www.cisp.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute. Education for the future. 800-574-1319.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Drs. Roizen and Lonzer is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Arthur! Dr. Perry!
Mike, I know it's that you're cold. You're warm today, and I'm cold here in New York.
It's cold in New York, and that really does a thing on the face and the skin of the face, doesn't it?
It actually does. It's the humidity is so low here. I think it's about minus 10. No, that's not possible. The humidity is probably around 20% today. And whenever it goes below about 30, we begin to feel that, Mike. And we're feeling it. People's lips chap and their hands chap. And this is one of the few times of the year that moisturizer might be something people can benefit from. But I'm not a big fan during the summer when the humidity's high, however.
Let me tell you my favorite medical story of the week, since I didn't get to do it before, and why it's so important. A Fed economist, Lee Shiner, looked at the data from Medicare and looked at the variations in cost. You know, Florida and South Carolina and some of those states and Mississippi and Missouri cost literally four times as much as, for example, Minnesota does or Maine does for Medicare, the same age patient. If you look at all the patients from 75 to 80, it's four times different. Or if you look at them from 85 to 90, it's four times different, four times more in Florida and Missouri and Mississippi, and looked at it carefully. Now, Dartmouth has done some very good work showing the differences in cost, and they said this is due to variation in care. But the Fed economist, Louise Schaller, agreed with Dr. Richard Cooper of the University of Pennsylvania, and they independently analyzed the data and said, no, more than 50% of the changes are due to, in fact, habits, whether people smoke or not, how fat they are, how much type 2 diabetes they are, whether they control their blood pressure, lifestyle changes. So my favorite story this week is, if we're going to change Medicare's cost structure and reduce the cost in the high-cost states closer to that of the low-cost states, we've got to change food choices, we've got to change diet, we've got to change the social stigma of, if you will, smoking and obesity, making obesity much like, if you will, smoking, that it's not a good thing to get there, and it's not a good thing for society. One of the things I was most heartened by was the story in the last half hour. The EPA does this analysis of kids' health, and as opposed to 27% of kids who had cotinine levels indicating they were secondhand smoking in 1990, in 2010 it was just 7%. So we've really gotten that smoking out of the homes and out of the cars to a large degree. Now we've got to get healthier food choices and exercise and stress management.
That's right, Mike. So, and that means no more deep-fried Twinkies on the boardwalk in Venice Beach.
That's correct.
That's right.
But let's go to one of the things you have that I love the story of, because you're going to explain the difference to me, because I asked you, one of my friends said, is Thermage good? And I said, for, if you will, resurfacing the skin. And you said, well, let's discuss the difference between lasers and radio frequency, ultrasound, heat, needling, and peeling, because if your friend is confused, a lot of other people are probably too.
And Mike, you know, there are so many new machines out there, you know, just so many, it becomes very difficult for even plastic surgeons and dermatologists to keep up with things. And certainly there are dozens and dozens of lasers. And like you said, Thermage, there's a new one out there called Fractora. There are peels. There's high-energy focused ultrasound. There's all sorts of things. Now, they're all supposed to make you look better. They're all supposed to make you look younger. So let's get to the bottom of this, Mike. Now, if you think about it, every one of these techniques has something in common. They create wounds. And remember, you know this, that humans, the species of humans, it's about 200,000 years old. And way back then, how did we heal wounds? Well, the same way we heal wounds right now, right? We shrink wounds and we thicken the area with scar. We call that collagen, right? We generate that. And if we do that in a very controlled way, we can actually make wrinkles better and make thin skin thicker. And so what we're really doing with all these techniques, Mike, is wounding ourselves. So then we have to think about, you know, if we're wounding ourselves, which of these techniques is the best? Which is the most accurate? And you know, the companies never talk this way, because the last thing they want you to know is that you're actually subjecting yourself to a controlled injury, right? I mean, there's no PR firm that would
ever... Well, that's how we heal, right? If you heal with new skin, and the new skin makes you look younger and actually is younger and better for you.
That's right. And if anyone's ever seen a burned patient, right, someone who got burned... And let's say on the neck area, that if a burn went untreated, the person did not go to the burn unit and just healed in. You know, we've all seen those people and war injuries where the chin gets pulled right down to the chest and people lose function. They lose the ability to move because the body has shrunk the wound. That's one of the key ways. You know, it's a race for the body to heal the wound before bacteria get in. And remember, before 1938, there were no antibiotics. And so... we had to get those wounds closed, and your body did that as quickly as possible, and it sacrificed function to stay alive. And so shrinking the area is a basic part of wound healing. And when we wound you, and we can do that, Mike, when we wound you with either a peel or a laser or high-energy focused ultrasound or heat, when we wound you, we start that process. We start the shrinkage of tissue, and we start the generation of collagen. So let's think now. Now, way back in 1962, Mike, that's when the deep chemical peel came in. And that was a fairly well-controlled way to wound the skin and cause this reaction. And boy, it was very effective. You know, the deep chemical peel with phenol, remember that stuff? That's the stuff that's in chloraseptic. But in chloraseptic, it's 0.3%. And in deep chemical peeling, it's 50%. So that's pretty caustic stuff. But we put it right on your face, and we create a wound. And after about 2 weeks, the skin heals back, and hopefully, and it usually does, it heals fine. And then your wrinkles are better, and you look better. But one of the problems with the deep chemical peel, Mike, in 1962 was that everybody had this real long, protracted wound healing period, red skin for 3 months, and then after you healed, your skin was white. And so, you know, in 1995, we got away from deep chemical peeling, and we went to lasering with carbon dioxide lasers, another great way to peel the skin off. You know where these carbon dioxide lasers came from, Mike?
No.
They were.
I'm almost afraid to ask you.
Oh, you can't believe this one. These same lasers that are used on the skin were first used to take paint off of ships. You know, it was a very effective way. They lasered the paint, and it peeled right off. And that's and then someone got the idea. It was an Israeli plastic surgeon to use these on humans and vaporize this skin. It did a better job probably than the deep chemical peel because we could judge the depth very nicely. So, Mike, the laser is a way to wound the skin, but more importantly, it's an energy delivery device. And, you know, the problem with lasers, again, long healing period, lightened skin. So people look for ways to wound you. How's that? In a much more controlled way. So maybe when we come back from the break, Mike, we'll talk about the newer ways, not the peels and not the really deep lasers, but some of these new ways and which ones are good and which ones might not be so good.
Well, and if anyone wants to ask us questions, more questions, they can always email us at udocs@gmail.com, or they can call 1-877-711-5211 and get on with us. And then they can ask you directly, asking Arthur directly. So when we come back, also, you're going to tell me what your feelings are about some of the individual devices like Thermage. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the You Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike, and you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can call us anytime, 877-711-5611, or email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com. We're talking with Dr. Arthur Perry, who is our expert in the last half hour every week. And Arthur, we were going over what's the difference in all these things, all these ways of giving energy for making the face look younger between laser and ultrasound and radio frequency and all the other things, needles, whatever the heck. And what are the nuances between the different forms of each one?
Well, Mike, the first one that came out with a high-tech, kind of insignia there, the laser, that was 1995. It's light energy. And what it did was it blasted away the upper surface of the skin, and it allowed healing. So that's light energy, and we got away from that because of the real long healing period and the real long period of redness. So then something you mentioned, thermage, came in. Now, thermage is electric current, radio frequency or electric current, and it was a method of heating up the skin. Remember that all these techniques deliver energy, and it's not really the energy, it's the deposition of the energy that causes a heat injury. So in the end, they're all just heating up the tissue because, really, remember, 200,000 years ago.
And so is one of the tricks which one heats it up most uniformly?
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's right. And at the right temperature and at the right location, Mike, that's the thing. So thermage put in this energy, this electric current, and was supposed to go through the skin. And there are people that like thermage, but one of the problems of thermage is that herding that electric current through the skin is kind of like herding sheep. You know, you get some that go the other way, and some of that electricity goes through the fat. And in some studies, about a third of people wound up with divots because the electric current went through the fat, and then the fat died. And, you know, we don't see that
and
right
so
away.
And so in healing, it formed a scar, which caused the divot.
Yeah, that's right. The fat actually goes away, but it takes anywhere from 6 to 12 months for it to be cleaned out by the body. So we don't see those things right away. So Thermage is still being used, and I do have to say that some people swear by it, but a lot of people do not.
Other people swear at it, eh?
Yeah, they do. And it's actually a very painful. My patients have come to me and told me they've had Thermage. They all say the same thing. It hurt like you know what. So Thermage, that's the one. There's this new one, this Fractora. That actually just came out in the last couple months. That also uses radio frequency. And they play some games with the electric current and with magnetic fields to try and corral that electric current in the right way. It's too early to tell whether or not it really does what it's supposed to do, Mike. But that's the new one. But then there are other things. There's something called Titan, T-I-T-A-N. It's a great name, right? Titan the skin. That's infrared radiation, and you and I know that as just heat. So what that's doing is it's applying heat to the skin, and the skin is supposed to shrink. The problem with that one is the publications are pretty weak with that one. And all of these things that heat up the skin have a very, very small margin of error. And that means, you know, there's not much difference between heating the skin and shrinking it and heating the skin and destroying it. And that's one of the problems. So you know, I'm not sure about Titan. I've not been impressed with any of the results I've seen in the literature. Then, Mike, came this high-energy-focused ultrasound. Now, this is one that I've liked. The reason I like that is because you can actually focus the sound energy. So here's what they do. They take the sound of a train. If anyone's ever stood next to a train or a bass drum, your clothing actually vibrates. And it's that sound energy that's causing vibration of your clothing. Now, if you take that sound, rather, and you put it in a frequency higher than you and I can hear, you could take the sound of a train and not hear it at all. And that's what they do. They take that sound and then they focus it. And those of you who have been to a place like the Pantheon know that you can stand in one end of the building and whisper and hear the sound way across the building. Well, they take that shows you that they can focus the sound. They focus it like light in, let's say, a magnifying glass can burn leaves, right? So they take the sound and they focus it under the skin, Mike. And the beauty of that high energy focused ultrasound is it passes through the skin without damaging it. And that's why I like this one. It actually can be aimed at the fat underneath the skin or at the bottom of the skin. And it's been out about 2.5 years. And it's the one that I'm using in my practice. So I'm a little bit biased, but I like it. You know, I've looked at all these technologies. You know, there are other things, Mike, that
and so this focusing of the skin, the focusing of the sound waves or the energy to get the energy, how much skill does it require? In other words, could someone who isn't you're a very accomplished cosmetic surgeon. You study it, you work hard at it. I know you practice it a lot. So you're very accomplished, and so what requires skill, you may be able to do and get much more uniform results than someone who's an amateur. Is this one good enough that amateurs can use it, or does it still require a lot of skill?
No, I think it requires a lot of skill, and I say that with great sincerity. I think in order to do a really good job at this, you have to have done the surgery. For instance, Mike, when I aim at the cheeks, I'm aiming very specifically at a layer in the cheek, which is a fibrous muscular layer, which I lift physically with sutures, with stitches, when I do a facelift. I'm using this machine. I'm aiming right at that layer, and I'm trying to shrink that layer. And so I'm doing what we do with stitches with the machine. And the difference with this particular machine, Mike, and one of the reasons it's a little more difficult for people to learn how to use, is because we're not seeing the tissue directly, but we are looking at a diagnostic ultrasound, you know, those images on the screen. We're looking, and we have to train ourselves. And this is a new thing for surgeons. We're not used to doing this. So we have to learn how to do it and learn what the tissues are and what they look like underneath, you know, through that screen. And then we aim the machine where we want to aim it, and we fire away. And like anything, Mike, you know, you can follow the protocol and just kind of go through the steps, or you can do it in a more precise way, like a surgeon would do, where we aim at the tissue and maybe do more pulses than the guidelines say, because a person might need more guidelines. So there's certainly skill in everything. Although, you know, this is certainly more fail-safe than, let's say, the laser, where you can do a tremendous amount of damage very easily, And there have been eye punctures with the laser and terrible burns and terrible scars. So certainly this is safer than the laser. But there's still things you can do that can be dangerous with this. There have already been some eye injuries even with this ultrasound technique. So I'm like, you know, these are all these new things. But in the end, the way to think about it is they're energy delivery devices, and how can we deliver the energy more precisely? And the new machines, I'm sure, are going to get better and better.
Now, this is for doing the equivalent of a facelift, but with energy. Is that right?
That's correct. And it's not
the
same.
So this is more than just, if you will, getting rid of dead skin. This is actually lifting the tissues with this.
Yes, and there can be some absolutely dramatic results. It's really very interesting with these new techniques.
Well, next week you will be treated to another You, the Owner's Manual radio show. I know I didn't do any real age tip of the weeks this week, so we'll do four next week to make up. We've got some great medical stories left over. Thanks, Sonar, for great engineering, and especially you for listening. Thanks very much.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranty Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Downsized, outsourced, pink slipped? Afraid of losing your home? Forbes magazine named our company one of the top 10 business ideas of 2012, where ordinary people are creating extraordinary incomes.
Hi, I am Elena from Miami. I was a traditional business owner with all the headaches that come with that. But I replaced that multiple franchise income working from home full time, and I spent all the time I want with my son.
Get out of the rat race. Work from home and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hi, David from Boston. I was in the real estate industry for 12 years when the bottom completely fell out of that business. I really had my back against the wall with five young kids depending on me. I've now been in this business for less than a full year, and I'm actually better off today, income-wise, than I was in my best year ever in real estate.
Go to OneOccupyWealth.com now and change your life today. That's the number OneOccupyWealth.com. OneOccupyWealth.com. Start earning great money as soon as next week.